Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hey, guys.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 62 is being brought to you once again by the fabulous people at Georgia Veterinary Associates.
Again, I hope people listen on two times.
A family of animal hospitals. You messed me up. A family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. That's our tagline, if people don't know that.
Yeah. So, and the mess-ups are great because it just keeps people like knowing that we're doing this legit every time.
Yeah.
We've been asked if we recorded this intro.
We've talked about this before. So, like, a lot of the game shows that I used to watch back in the 70s, 80s, whenever, a lot of times they would say, what would they say? Previously recorded live. What in the world does that mean? How else can you record something? It has to be live. You can't have like dead people recording. But they basically have turned.
Well, doesn't it mean that like, there's no takes?
Well, that's not what it means. It's a play on words. Like, this was previously recorded live. Well, again, obviously, everything is recorded live. So, anyway.
But I think it means that there's no takes. Like, it's one time through.
I don't think so. I think...
No?
You've been on the set of The Price is Right in California.
Yes, sir.
Is that
sir,
like
I have.
No takes? Is it just...
Oh, heck no.
Exactly. That's my point.
They do retakes for sure. And Drew Carey is hysterical.
Yeah. So, that's my point, though, that... you know, you just said before we started this, it's great when you record an entire podcast and we forgot to hit record. It is really great when we record an entire podcast and Jen, who publishes them for us, we can just say, hey, no edits, just go ahead and put it on.
Yeah, just so listen
we kinda,
and
we kind of high-five on those moments. So we do have a special guest, as promised last podcast.
Yes, so for those that were listening last week, we are joined by Lincoln Memorial vet student, Graham DePinto.
Hey, guys.
Graham DePinto. So give us a little background on your heritage, because people should pick that up. So the reason I'm asking this, he showed up this morning. I was a couple minutes late beating him here.
Okay.
Because I wanted to introduce him to the staff.
Okay.
And Graham is so outgoing. He just showed up and went to the doctor's office, started talking to people. And what did I say? We were talking about, I said Graham is here because he had, unfortunately, a vacation to Italy canceled.
Mm.
And so he took this opportunity to come join us and do an externship. And Jaritza and Natalie, our Hispanic employees, just kind of started giggling. And they're like, that's okay. We're Mexican. We're all dark skinned. It's just close enough to Italy. But I don't really think they realize that he is Italian.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't.
They did. They totally did not.
So. Okay. So that...
It was just kind of an internal chuckle.
That's funny.
But anyway, we often digress in our storytelling, Graham, but definitely welcome. So give our audience just kind of a brief discussion on why you decided to go to vet school and you want to be a veterinarian.
Okay. So, hey, everybody out there. I think I already said hey, but so I'm from North Carolina, the Wilmington, North Carolina area. So I'm from the beach. So I grew up, my father came in from Italy. So I am Italian. I'm a dual citizen. And my mother is from a town called Tar Heel, North Carolina. So, you know, in the sticks. Dad came over from Italy to Indiana, Hoosier State, and played basketball. So he came down.
What position did he play?
He played shooting guard. He's about 6'4". He's an inch taller than I am, but he is one of the most athletic people I think I've ever met in my life.
Wow.
So he came down and he actually got a college basketball scholarship to play at the University of Pembroke, which is about an hour away from Tar Heel, North Carolina, where my mother met, or where my mother was from, and came to, they met, and, I guess the rest is history. So, I am here 24 years later. My mother grew up on a hog farm, which is a big thing in North Carolina. Basically, any Smithfield product you eat comes from North Carolina. All the hogs are grown there. I grew up going to my grandparents' house, we had cattle, we had all sorts of kind of stuff, dogs. My grandfather was a huge hunter. So, you know, I grew up around the dogs. I think he had about 150. And he, as bad as it sounds back then, you know, 150 dogs, that's pretty hefty vet bill, obviously. So I remember with my grandfather that we would have to do a lot of the vet work that you normally would take if you had a pet or whatever to the doctor. We would have to, we'd have to do a lot of it ourselves unless it was just something crazy. And then we would take him to Dr. Midget, who was the local vet there.
No play on words there, I guess. But.
So anyway, so that's basically where I've got my start was my grandfather. We were big animal lovers, horses, all that kind of stuff. So, and then, you know, I always have a love for science. I absolutely love science. I think it's just the fact that half the things go on that, you know, the heart, the complexity of the heart, the complexity of the brain, the complexity of all the different systems that are in the body. It just, it's mind-boggling, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've talked, I feel like we've talked about that before, how complex every system in the body as a whole, it is amazing,
yeah,
unbelievable,
exactly,
how things work, and one little glitch
and it's all over.
And it's all over, you know, and then the severity of those glitches, you know, vary as well. So I totally agree with you. Somewhat similar, certainly not exactly the same as I grew up, but you know, I grew up on a sheep farm and a hay farm and a crop farm, pig farm, cattle farm, and we took care of a lot of our own veterinary needs, right or wrong,
yeah,
when I look back.
Exactly.
But super interesting, and that's one of the main reasons I got into the profession as well.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's where I basically got my start. Obviously, there was no science whenever I was talking to my hog farmer of a grandfather, but it was, this is how this is done, and that's how you do it. So fast forward, I went to, I always knew from about age 6 that I wanted to do this. I started at 12, I believe, volunteering at my local animal hospital in Clinton, North Carolina, which is near Wilmington. And so from basically from then up until, I think I was 18, right before I went to college, I worked in the hospital every summer. Every summer. So obviously when you're that young, you do nothing but shovel crap and wash dogs and then get to see some cool surgeries, you know, standing in the corner of the room, watching the guy work. So obviously that just kind of spurred things on. Went basically from there, just said, this is absolutely what I want to do. I love it. I love everything about it. And, I went to NC State for undergraduate. Go Pack, for anybody that might be from North Carolina. They also have a vet
probably
school.
Probably nobody that's listening is from North
Carolina. Yeah, probably not. But anyway.
We can change that with Graham's prison.
Yeah,
there you go.
He's going to push this out. He's going to be like, hey, guys, here's a link to a cool podcast.
You obviously don't know my level of followers on Instagram. I think I have like maybe 100. But
that's 100 more than I have.
So I went to NC State, and then from there, I applied to that vet school, which they're number 3 in the nation, I believe. So it's basically like trying to get into Cornell, UC Davis. They're up there with those guys. I think I got waitlisted, and then I applied to LMU, LSU, and a couple other places, and also applied to NC State's master's program. Got in there, and then got into LMU, and there was no way in you know where that I'm gonna wait 2 more years to get, you know, to be able to achieve my dream. So I packed up my wife and my 2 dogs and we moved to Tennessee. So then
cool.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry for the long introduction, but
no, definitely
my story.
But
that's fantastic.
And I think the right decision to go ahead and get your education.
Absolutely.
You know, the schools are, I'm not going to say they're not important, but it's more important, in my opinion, as to what you do with the education,
right,
and, you know, and the individual getting that education. So definitely, I think you made the right choice. Get it done now.
Right.
I've thought about and talked with people over the years, you know, if I, as a 40-year-old, had to go back to vet school, I'm like, I couldn't do it, man.
Yeah.
I just, you know, you need to get your education when you're young and you have that fire,
right,
and desire, is my opinion. So
yep.
Welcome. So all right, now we're gonna go into a little segment of
I just have one question. We're not pretending that you're 40 now, right? Like you're thinking like back in the day when you were 40. Is that right?
I might be a little bit over 40. Maybe a little bit. All right, let's move into the segment with our guest that we kind of call Would You Rather.
Oh, jeez.
You familiar with the concept?
I am.
Okay. So I know the answer to some of these. Would you, now this is a deep, kind of a deep question. You, not your wife Liz.
Okay.
Rather vacation. So vacation, not live.
Okay.
At the beach or the mountains?
Probably have to say the beach. Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of a given there. All right. Would you, in your off time, your downtime, rather sit on the couch, veg out, and watch TV, maybe binge watch your favorite show, or go to the park and take a walk or a run and enjoy outdoors?
I think you probably already know that answer, too. Definitely the park. I cannot sit still for anything. So.
Oh, you're not a binge watcher?
No.
What are you binge watching now, though? Everybody's binge watching something to a degree.
What are you watching now? Yeah. I don't even know. Oh, okay. So my wife has got me into this show called 90 Day Fiancé on TLC. Mm. It's the dumbest show on planet Earth, but it's funny. The people on there are hilarious. So.
What are you watching, Angel, right now, currently?
It's called Animal Kingdom.
Wow.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with animals.
Are we all done with the tiger thing?
Oh, we did that too.
Still it's hysterical, stupid. Like just the ignorance and the stupidity of things.
Carol Baskin definitely did it. Just saying, she definitely killed her husband. So,
right. It's really funny though because my parents just before I came here they were at my house and my mom quotes Tiger King.
Really?
So
I can't get
funny.
My father-in-law to watch it. Usually I can say, hey, you need to watch this, you need to watch that. But
man, I tried to watch it. I just couldn't.
Exactly.
I
That's
tried
exactly
to watch it twice.
It's like, a train wreck. How can you look away, though? It's like it's literally like one of those things that you just got to keep watching.
God. All right. Back to Graham. So thus far, you started externing with us how many days ago?
Thursday. Yeah, I came in Wednesday night after finishing my semester.
So three. I've only called him Grant once.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't even hear it.
And that was today, and he didn't hear it. So, all right. So live concert or live sporting event?
Live concert, probably.
And who would you like to go see?
Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy
really?
Buffett. Yeah, I've seen him two times.
It was supposed to be last weekend, but he got canceled here.
Yep. Yeah. He got canceled in Raleigh.
Everywhere.
As well.
Yeah,
you and Dr.
I'm sure
Evans
everywhere.
Might have some things in common. I know the answer to this. Surgery or internal medicine?
Surgery. God knows.
Right. Spay or neuter?
Spay.
But he doesn't really know because he's not done that.
Not yet.
I've done two neuters and one spay, but spay is more complicated.
It's more complicated. It's more intense.
And I like the challenge. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's our final question. Would you rather be doing an internship at Russell Ridge Animal Hospital or any other clinic in the world?
I got to think on that one. No, definitely. Definitely here. Okay. I've thoroughly enjoyed my 3 days here so far. So this has been great.
You're going to be here for 2 weeks, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, once again, we're super happy that you're here.
Thank you.
We'll kind of move into just other discussion. To be honest, you know, we've shared that we kind of look at the AHA Newsstat and the AVMA Smart Brief reports with stories, and mm-hmm. we try to kind of find something interesting. I really didn't find a whole lot that was super interesting this
week.
Well,
you know, last week when Rhonda was on, we talked about how we're just a little bit fed up with coronavirus. It's still active. It's still out there. We're not being naive to the whole situation, but like it's time to move on.
Absolutely.
6 weeks on the podcast, and I'm sure we probably lost a listener or two because they were tired of hearing about it. So last week we kind of vowed that we would move on, but that's still what all other news outlets are talking
about. It's just out there. Yeah. So I did look at stats. Speaking of that, we have not talked about stats purposefully for the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, we had 11,500 deaths. There are 1,606 deaths as of today. So the quote unquote curve is flattening. We kind of know what that means, but whatever that means. And then also, 26,000 reported positive cases a couple of weeks ago. Now that's 37,000. So we know the cases are going to continue to be there. This is a disease that we're not going to eradicate. My opinion is we're not going to come up with a vaccine that's going to be effective. So we are going to have to deal with it. I was out a little bit yesterday and today, and in Georgia, people are really starting to relax. The restaurants, as you know, because we discussed this earlier, bars I'm not sure about, but everything's kind of relaxing and they're opening up a little bit more, and a lot of people are not wearing a mask, and that's a whole nother issue. Graham kind of brought up, you know, the lack of effectiveness, you know, but, and I totally do not disagree with that, but at least, you know, maybe it blocks a something, I don't know what, from getting into my lungs, or
one dust particle,
or a tumbleweed or something, I don't know. So you know, I think on our end, we are not wearing masks in the clinic, but when we go outside into other public areas, we are doing that because we hope that should there be any level of protection, we're just trying to do our part. I did go to Panda Express today.
Okay.
The one over in Lawrenceville that does not have a drive-through.
Okay.
And a little background is I've been going to the one over by Lowe's in Suwanee because they do have a drive-through.
Right. But a limited menu, right? Isn't that what you said?
So guess what the menu differences were today?
Open or limited or...
There were no differences.
Really?
So I don't know who in the world decided that string bean chicken...
was not one of
Panda
the top sellers.
Express is not one of the top sellers, but evidently somebody has decided that. So I've been eating Kung Pao chicken.
Let's hope it's their sales reports.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Like literally, let's hope.
Which I mean, I like a little Kung Pao every once in a while, but I need some string bean chicken in my life.
Or the honey walnut shrimp. That's where it's at.
That is one of the more popular ones because that's still on the menu. So the point of me telling you this is they were very wise in how they had the store set up. You walk into the door you normally would enter into, and you and I have had lunch there before, and it has a sign that says enter, and it talks about the menu, and they have taken the two mobile trash can and tray holders. Those are now their ordering stands, and they are 5 feet from when you walk in to the front door.
So you don't go along the sneeze guard anymore?
No, you walk right in. They have the two trash cans turned around backwards so that it's kind of a tiered level. They've got a computer screen there. They've got a credit card processing machine and a lady with a mask sitting there. And you walk in one party at a time, no more than five people in the restaurant. You order off the limited menu. You put your card in. You pull it out. Even if it's a debit card, you don't have to touch the keypad. I was very impressed. And then they have blue tape on the floor, marking out 6 feet apart.
Like, but what is the long term here? Because there's no way that these businesses can survive serving five people at a time. I mean, I'm not going to stand in line in the future to go into a store. Maybe it'll be the norm. I don't know. But I do not want to stand outside of a store to get inside of the store. You know
what
I mean?
Like, it's just, I'm going to speak for you, but I'm going to rephrase that. I never thought pre what was the big thing that happened in New York with all the planes crashing?
9/11?
Yeah, pre 9/11.
Okay.
That I would have to get to the airport 2 or 3 hours ahead of time and wait in line for 30 minutes to be screened to get on a plane.
I guess.
Take my own bag.
I just feel like that seems so normal.
It's there's going to be changes.
However, I don't like taking my shoes off there, so I don't.
Yeah, TSA pre-check.
Now I'm pre-checked.
Bam.
So I think there's always ways around things, but like, I'm asking the legitimacy of the limiting of people in the buildings and that kind of thing. I just don't know.
Well, so we're still curbside here, and I plan on doing it for another 2 to possibly 4 weeks. We, in some aspects, are more efficient.
But I might be naive to the situation, but we're not limiting the number of patients that we see. And that is our business. We see and treat patients. We don't see and treat human beings. Yeah. So if we get to the point where we say, okay, now humans are allowed to come in, but only one at a time, that's fine. We can still take 10 patients. Yep. There's a difference, I think, in what we're doing versus what like restaurateurs have to do.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to come back to Graham because his family is in the restaurant business, the hospitality business. So yes. The only reason I bring up Kung Fu Panda was that they have adapted, and they have their tables lined up so that you cannot even approach where they serve the food, and they have a runner like us getting the food order, bringing it to you on a table, and then you quickly exit. And so they were not as busy as they usually are. They're probably 50% capacity, but they did figure out a way to practice this distancing and try to make the public feel better, make themselves feel better, and still deliver their services. So, Graham, what's going on? There's a little bit of a story, I think, with your dad's restaurant and your mom's restaurant.
Yes, yeah, so North Carolina is a little bit behind the times. It's political or whatever you can say, but... our governor has not reopened restaurants, bars, salons, all that stuff. So we're still on phase one. Where
I don't think that's really behind. I think that's majority of the other states.
That's probably the norm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
As far as around here. Our sister or neighboring states, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Virginia is still kind of restrictive as well. But as far as what's around us, we are more restrictive. Our big cities. Raleigh, Charlotte, those have gotten hit pretty hard, obviously, just like Atlanta has. But as far as my parents, so my mother has owned a restaurant. She owns a chicken and barbecue restaurant for 30 years. My father, who is a financial advisor, but needed a hobby, so he opened an Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that goes back to a right. little heritage there. Obviously, we were both affected by this. My mother actually had an employee test positive. Mm-hmm. We weren't able to determine if it came in on a dollar bill or if it came in, you know, airborne or whatever. But out of an abundance of caution, we just shut down everything. And so we were closed down for the 2-week quarantine period. And it definitely was challenging because we had to go in and close down everything and sanitize everything, obviously. But coming back out of it, we're still takeout, curbside, that type of thing. But I've been bringing, you know, when we were in school, we had CDC updates from mm-hmm. our kind of people there. So I would bring whatever they were telling us at the time back to my parents and be like, okay, hey, this is the current testing. You know, they're saying 6 feet sneeze distance, that kind of thing. Or, you know, the virus is reacting to heat or it's not reacting to heat, blah, blah, blah. You need to use this chemical. And so I kind of helped him out with that. But it's just been difficult because once we announced that we had one positive case and then we shut down, no one else got it. Mm-hmm. And so people were kind of freaking out. And I think we did see a little bit of a decrease after we opened back up because people are just, they have... Honestly, as bad as it sounds, they have no clue, and I don't blame them. I mean, you know, if you don't have any medical training or whatever, you don't really know what's going on, and you just want to take every caution you could.
Right,
you're doing what you think, yeah, you should.
Exactly. So. And so we saw a decrease in our business, and I'm not sure how it's going to go. I think the next step, which is either this weekend or next weekend, depending on the number of cases. But I do believe that they are going to go into phase two. And that being said, I believe we are available to 50% capacity.
Okay.
So I'm still kind of trying to tell him, okay, look, you know, this is what actually it's been good that I came because I've been taking what these restaurants are doing here, you know, taking Letting two or three, yeah. you know, tables and spacing them out and kind of right. telling them what they're doing. Paper menus. That's a, you know, they're yeah. taking them and they're just throwing them away.
Exactly.
Which is a good idea. Might not be the most eco-sustainable decision to make, but
a lot of trees are yeah, being exactly. really hurt by that, but I think it's the right decision.
But yeah, so as far as the virus goes, that's definitely, you can't beat that. So yeah, but just trying to help them out any way I can. Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about recycling and that kind of thing, yeah. kind of your view on it, my view on it. Interesting. So there's a show called Upload on Amazon Prime. Have either one of you watched it?
I saw it just only because I haven't seen the thing. I just seen that Greg Daniels, who was the creator of The Office, which is by far my favorite yeah. show ever.
So totally not related to the whole show or whatever, but they're in a world where like tech runs their life and they actually create food in their house. Like, they don't go grocery shopping or things right. like this. It's like if they want an apple, they hit a button and, like,
this apple
is created. Yeah.
yeah.
And so I told you guys also that, and I've said this on the podcast, that I'm trying to read all these magazines to become more well-rounded as an individual. Yeah, exactly. Whatever. But there's like this plea through Wired, which is one of the magazines, this plea to Silicon Valley about how to create locally lab-created foods so that we don't have to have all this trade back and forth between countries and that kind of thing. So I think that there's a lot in technology that restaurants specifically still we haven't discovered, if that makes sense. We are still kind of old school, right? In the sense that we use one menu and everybody. And how many restaurants have you been to and you're like, oh, disgusting, some kid left their ketchup on my menu, you know what I mean?
So like, new good things will come from this. Absolutely. Maybe, you know, we will most likely have the menu on our phone.
Yeah,
right. And so
personalized,
you know, we've talked about, you know, the importance of email addresses for clients so that we can communicate with them, we can send them discharge instructions. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the video consulting and you know, having people in front of us. So I don't know what it looks like exactly, but you know, you're talking about this manufactured food. I mean, the rave before COVID-19 around here was how awesome an Impossible Burger is. Oh, this is the greatest thing.
Geez.
You need to buy stock in, you know, in the
Beyond
I've had
an
like
Impossible
three, and I'm like, oh my, this is horrible.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's worse for you than beef.
Yeah.
And as I said before, you know, I came from a heavy agriculture area. You know, we've heard of the lab grown beef, and I could tell you stories of horror stories of it. You know, you don't if you think that Smithfield Foods, who are honestly they have hog farmers, and you know these are honest people that are literally just growing hogs and trying to get the best product, healthy product out there. If you think they're trying to poison you, you mean to tell me these people are going to trust the lab to make, you know, make a good meal?
Well, how does that happen? We're somewhat running out of time. So, you know, I had a couple of cases that we're seeing this week or have seen. And as always, there's the gamut of cases, and they're always very interesting. Graham and I talked, actually, I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday, he made the comment like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna do so much surgery here. I'm going to be so far ahead. I'm seeing so many just cool things.
Yeah.
You know, we did a CT scan yesterday.
Absolutely.
You know, we've had these weird fractures, these weird exploratories, all this just crazy stuff. And, you know, kind of today we were talking in the office, and I said, yes, one of our new graduates kind of made that same comment like, oh my gosh, y'all just see so much stuff. And I'm going to, you know, probably break my arm patting ourselves on the back here, but my comment was, you know, those cases are out there. You only see them when you find them, and you have to have the equipment and the clinical reasoning to be able to find those cases. So it's not like, you know, the dog that came from Atlanta today with a colorectal mass. You know, we didn't discover that. It was there. We were just able to find it. So
sure.
That leads into the word of the week, because we were kind of struggling in the office. This particular dog that I just mentioned was having some hematochezia. What does that mean, Angel?
I don't know. Blood something.
Very good.
Blood in the feces.
In the feces. It was also showing signs of tenesmus.
Oh, God. And you're going to ask me this one, too?
Do you know what that means?
Not at all.
So the reason this came up, I, in front of Graham and one of the other doctors, I'm like, what is it? What's the word for, you know, frequent pooping? Like, I know when it comes to urine, it's, you know, it's polyuria. And when they're straining, it's dysuria. And when there's blood, it's hematuria. So we talk about a word of the week most weeks, and we kind of say, oh, it's all Latin or Greek, and there's root words and prefixes, and that's a very important part of medicine. And I'm just like, polyachezia, that just doesn't, that's not the right word. And so it kind of came to us in the office, and Graham and I, you know, we kind of both at the same time came up with tenesmus, which is straining to defecate.
Yeah, all right. I can't say that I knew that at all.
Yeah, so it's very informative, this podcast, at times.
It can be.
So we're going to try to have Graham on the podcast next week before he departs us, and hopefully he will come back and join us in the future.
Absolutely.
you know, we are kind of pushing him to share the podcast. I do know that where we met Graham was at the 7S
Society
meeting in Atlanta,
yep.
which was right when all of this COVID stuff was going down.
Yeah.
They ended up canceling the rest of their events because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe we can kind of partner with them or his connections with them. We can kind of do that. My understanding is they do push out a podcast. I'm not sure if it's weekly.
They do.
But it is more informative to veterinary students and veterinarians, like how you should market your practice, how you should do this, how you should do that, how to. And, you know, we are kind of multifactorial in our purpose. It's trying to get our clients to hear our voices and know what goes on in the hospital. It's talking about new things, you know, going on with people in the hospital. What diseases are we seeing? What's going on in the world? And quite frankly, it's just us talking. Anyway, hopefully Graham will help spread the word.
Sure.
I'll try my best.
So that's it. I'll sign us out then.
Yeah.
All right. Check in next week, guys, as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People Pets and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Also, under the resources tab, you can listen to the podcast online, but wherever you're listening to this podcast, please hit subscribe. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
You're supposed to say bye, guys, because you got on to me for having the last word.
Oh, bye, y'all.